Hi everyone, this is Dr. Reese. Welcome to Sport Management 501, Social Issues in Sport Management. We'll continue the course with Chapter 6 in the Woods textbook titled Youth Sport. This point cast will last approximately 15 to 20 minutes. Let's get started. In this chapter, we'll discuss the following topics. We'll discuss the history of youth sport, the current status and structure of youth sport, participation, recent trends, as well as reform efforts. Finally, we'll summarize the chapter. As mentioned in Chapter 1, much has changed in youth sport over the last few decades. Sport has gone from predominantly child-organized, as it was on the playground when I was a kid, to almost exclusively organized by adults. Little League Baseball, founded in 1939, is perhaps the most well-known youth sport governing body. Although the impact of Title IX did not take hold until the late 1970s and early 80s, it has nonetheless provided a significant boost to sport participation by girls. In addition to Title IX legislation, societal changes have also played a part. The fact that more mothers now work and have less time to supervise, safety concerns due to child predators, and sport-specific specialized training are some of the factors that have led to the increased structure of youth sport. What is the current status of youth sport? Well, according to statistics, initial participation levels are promising. Almost half of all kids participate in at least one organized sport, peaking at age 11. Youth sport sponsors include local sponsors, candy companies, sport equipment manufacturers, video game companies, breakfast cereals, fast food restaurants, and non-for-profits. Unfortunately, more than 70% of kids drop out of sport. Why? A variety of reasons. Obviously, priorities change as kids become teenagers. Social networks become more important, and there are more distractions now for young people than ever before. However, the pressure associated with sports leads to the number one reason youngsters drop out. They quit because it is no longer fun. This is due to an increased emphasis on winning, performance expectations, injuries, burnout, as well as the costs and time commitments associated with the expectation for sports specialization. Athletes are now expected to practice year-round and are discouraged from participating in multiple sports many times. This has pushed many young athletes toward alternate sports at the grassroots level with less stress and more control by athletes. Earlier, we discussed athlete-organized sport and adult-organized sport. Let's take an in-depth look at the difference. It's interesting that when children manage themselves, participation increases and downtime is minimized. Rules are changed as needed to manage the number of players, fairness, etc. Fun is the number one driving factor, while competitiveness, though still present, is minimized. They learn how to succeed socially in a sport setting. Most importantly, the kids are in charge and free from adult interference. The key point here is that kids are much better managing free play than adults give them credit for. When kids must manage themselves, they develop important skills, such as working within a group, making independent decisions, and learning to get along with peers. Unfortunately, when youth sport is managed by adults, the primary focus is redirected from fun to skill development. Rules and conformity are set by leagues and managed strictly. Most importantly, management and interpretation is provided by adults with little, if any, input from the children. Though the state of New York now offers training and certification for youth sport coaches, many coaches around the country are volunteers and have little or no experience managing children in a sport setting. This can be harmful to the sport experience for children and may lead to dropping out. For those adults who manage youth sport correctly, involvement can provide lifelong memories and lessons to apply to life. So what are some of the trends in youth sport? They do not look promising for most traditional sports. Trends indicate that more than ever, kids are trading sports equipment for remote controls. Kids now spend more than 5 hours per day in front of television and computer screens. Things such as video games, cell phones, and the internet have resulted in a substantial decrease in sport participation across the board, while obesity rates have increased. Things like bicycling, swimming, baseball, fishing, touch football, and even general pickup games are all down. Only basketball and soccer are on the rise. One additional exception is the explosion of extreme sports, such as snowboarding, skateboarding, paintball, and rock wall climbing, which all show increases in excess of 7%. So why do kids play sports? Simple, we mentioned it earlier, to have fun. Of course, there are many other benefits of participation in youth sports, such as exercise, spending time with friends, engaging in competition, and showing off skills. If the number one reason kids participate is for fun, then the number one reason for dropout will obviously be a lack of fun. Such things as long practices, too many games, and too much pressure from adults can create a lack of fun. There have been several initiatives to reform or enhance youth sports. Figure 6.1 on page 111 of the text illustrates the Bill of Rights for Young Athletes, introduced in 1979. Scanning the document summarizes how youth sport should be managed. Sports Done Right, a Maine-based proposal which uses educational programs to help adults understand what works and what detracts from the youth sport experience. Similarly, the SUNY Youth Sport Institute, part of the State University of New York, uses an educational program to certify youth sport coaches in the state of New York. To summarize Chapter 6, we've learned that, unfortunately, youth sport mirrors adult sport in many ways. We've learned that the way youth sport is structured by adults is different from why kids participate. We know that children develop additional social and decision-making skills when managing themselves. We have learned that other than basketball and soccer, participation in most traditional sports activities is down significantly. Finally, we know that efforts are being made to educate coaches and volunteers to help enhance the sport participation experiences of children. This concludes Chapter 6. I look forward to working with you in the next chapter.